Good to go. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. We will begin today's hearing in these contested cases involving petitions from Chris Schuster and Arla Schuster, respectively known as the landowners, in the matter of petitions to close portions of Cattail Kettle Lake in Marshall County to recreational use brought pursuant to SDCL 41-23-9 and ARSD 41040601. We do have a few interveners that we will also hear from today. The time is approximately 10:03 a.m. Mountain Time. The date is October 9th, 2025. And the location of the hearing is at the Beeler Community Center in Lemon, South Dakota. I'm Stephanie Rissler, Chair of the Commission. With me are Commissioners Jim White, Travis Bies, Bruce Cole, John Locken, and Julie Bartley. Catherine Williamson from the Office of Hearing Examiners will be acting as the independent hearing officer in this case. She will not have a decision-making role, but will control the hearing and evidence and advise the Commission during deliberations on procedural issues. I will now turn the hearing over to Mrs. Williamson.
Thank you, Chairman Rissler. As you heard, my name is Catherine Williamson. I am the Chief Hearing Examiner with the Office of Hearing Examiners in Pierre, and I will preside over this hearing. The hearing was set pursuant to the Commission's order, and public notification was sent out via newspaper, email. It was posted to the Commission's website. The parcels of land in question have the legal descriptions of the northeast one quarter and the southeast one quarter of the southwest one quarter of Section 6 of Eden Township. And the second one is the northwest quarter and southwest quarter of Section 6, 125, 55 West in the 5th Prime Meridian, Marshall County, South Dakota. The issue at this hearing is to determine whether the landowners have met their burden as established by law. Specifically, can the landowners demonstrate a sufficient rationale for the closure of the land based upon considerations of privacy, safety, and substantially affected financial interests of the owner of the private property? The Commission will then balance these arguments against the historical use of the water in question, the water quality, the water quantity, and the public's interest in recreational use of the water. This is all set out in statute. The landowners have the burden of proof to demonstrate their request for petition to close portions of Cattail Kettle Lake in Marshall County to recreational use. The standard of proof is by a preponderance of the evidence. Or to put in layman's terms, it is more likely than not, greater than 50%. All parties have the right to be present and to be represented by an attorney. The Commission's final decision may be appealed by the parties to the State Circuit Court and the State Supreme Court in accordance with law. I will now give a general guideline of how these proceedings will proceed. The Commission would like some background of this lake first. So the first person to testify is online, is Samantha Nichols with the Game Fish and Parks Department. She's the DIS database coordinator. She'll give us some background as to where this lake is located. Then the Commission would like to hear from someone from the department, the Wildlife Division. Tom Kirschenman is here today. He'll give us some information on the lake and its current uses. The landowners, seated here, will be given 15 minutes each to present their case and to meet their burden. Members of the Commission will be given a chance to ask questions at the conclusions of their presentation. And then, as detailed in the notice of hearing, written comments were allowed. There are parties of interest online. There are three online interveners, Emmett Kaiser, Chris Gukaisen, and Ryan Rohr, as well as present is Dana Rogers. And I will allow those four interveners to give testimony as well. They can also ask questions of the parties, and the parties can ask questions of them. Cross-examination is going to wait until after the end of all comments have come in. We've also had some written comments come in, and I'm going to have a member of the department read those into the record at the appropriate time. This process, there will be an opportunity for closing comments from the interveners, so you can make your statements during that time as well. This process will allow for orderly discourse. I know there's a number of people that feel passionately about both sides of this issue, and I'm here to make sure that everyone remains civil in their conversation and their testimony. My role as the independent hearing officer is to preside over the hearing and rule on procedural and evidentiary questions and advise the commission. I am not a decision maker, and I will not suggest what decision the commission should make on any issue. These six people up here are smart enough to make that decision. The commission is sitting as a body and the ultimate decision maker in this case. The department, as well, is not an interested party in this case. Any testimony that the Game, Fish, and Parks Department provides will be for informational purposes only and is at the request of the commission and myself, based upon the commission's ability to call witnesses. That testimony may be elicited from other GF&P staff members present. I think there's a couple on call that the commission may ask questions of as well, if you have questions for department staff. One final procedural note, these hearings are being recorded and broadcast live. I ask that all individuals introduce themselves, speak clearly and slowly, like I'm trying to do right now, and always use a microphone so that we can capture your voice accurately for both our listeners and the record of this hearing. It is important that no one speaks at the same time and someone else is speaking. It is important that the procedure be orderly, and I may occasionally remind you of that during the hearing. So all witnesses will be sworn or will testify and give statements under oath. Once all testimony has been received and commission has gathered what it believes to be sufficient factual evidence to make an objective and informed decision, they will go then into executive session, deliberate, and return to open session. Any decision or resolution resolving the petition will be made in open session and will be memorialized in commission records. Ultimately, findings of fact and conclusions of law and a written order will be entered, consistent with the commission decision. So now that that's all out of the way, we'll proceed. So Samantha Nichols, are you online, please?
Yes. Good morning. I am here.
Very good. Good morning, Samantha. I'm going to swear you in at this time. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give in this hearing will be true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
Yes.
Record shall reflect the witness is sworn. Samantha, please introduce yourself on the record.
Good morning. I'm Samantha Nichols. I'm the GIS and Data Intelligence Coordinator for the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks.
And with that job, you do the mapping, correct, of the lakes?
Correct. We collect data that exists out there, so we don't specifically map lakes, but have the knowledge and expertise to collect the data to have authoritative maps produced.
Okay, very good. I think the attorney for the department briefed you a little bit on what we need to have for background on this matter. So I'd like you to go into that area and tell me about the Cattail Kettle Lake, either the area and that specific location. If you could give me a macro and then go to a micro, if you could.
For sure. So I will go ahead and share the exhibits that were prepared for this. These should all be exhibit one. And I'm going to start on exhibit 1A. This is, like you said, the macro view of it. And just for everyone to be familiar where this water body is, it is in the northeast corner of South Dakota, just to the southwest of Lake City, or almost due east of Sisseton. So if people are familiar with those areas, this is approximately where that petition lies. This exhibit 1A, shows the general area and the general land features. So I want to highlight a few things. First off, the two yellow rectangles, or square and rectangle, are the two petition areas as you outlined in your introduction. So they are defined by township range section and quarter section, and those two areas, to the west would be A. Schuster's, and to the east would be C. Schuster's. Those are the areas of petition. And so you can see them relative to the blue water bodies underneath. The red transparent areas that are labeled are game production areas, and those are areas that are owned by the state, managed by Game, Fish, and Parks, and are opportunities for public recreation, hunting, things to that point. And we often abbreviate them as GPAs, but they are game production areas. Also, for reference, the Lost Lake GPA to the north there of the petition areas, we did acquire in 1957. The one to the southwest was acquired in phases between the 40s and the 70s. So we owned and managed these properties for quite some time. You will also see other landmarks such as roads and the orange up to the north that go over the north boundary of Lost Lake. And the dashed lines on this are the section lines. So again, all referencing what the petitioners had to put in for their petition area. Next, we are just going to be stepping through more specifically kind of highlights of this area through time. And you will see these two yellow areas outlined on each of the subsequent maps. So if we look at Exhibit 1B, this is the most current aerial imagery that we have for the area. This is MAPE imagery, which is acquired by the federal government using contracted private planes. And essentially, it's just photographs taken of the land, and they do this every 2 years. So you can see that the water bodies are outlined, can be seen in the darker, I don't know what you call it, blue-greenish colors there within the areas of petition, and then their locations relative to the GPA boundaries, which are in red. And again, that road to the north for reference. And so what we are trying to show with these maps are just what has existed on this landscape through time and has been documented through either aerial photography or through actual map making via topographic maps, which I'll discuss later. Exhibit 1C, again, we're just stepping through back in time more. This is 2020 aerial imagery. So again, we aren't seeing too much difference from the prior image. We're starting to get the idea this is an established water body whose levels may vary depending on drought conditions. But again, not too much difference between 2020 and 2024. Exhibit 1D, 2016. Again, really familiar landscape. Those yellow outlines are the two petition areas. You can see their relationship to the GPAs. The water body is a little bit lower, drier conditions during this time period. We can go back to 2010. Again, looks really similar to past ones. Obviously more water on the landscape in this picture, but the boundaries of the lakes in this area haven't really distinctly changed. Again, those drought conditions will impact that. We want to step further back in time, not just the near present. So this is 2003 aerial imagery. And this is near the start of when NAEP imagery was taken. And again, we can see the same consistent landscape features, the tree belts in there, the roads, the water bodies, and the relationship to the GPAs and the petition areas. Again, showing pretty consistent water levels throughout the years. Exhibit 1G, stepping even further back in time. I do want to denote that this is a different type of aerial imagery. It's just an older version of it. It's called a digital orthophoto quadrangle. It's really the same premise, photos taken from a plane with high resolution equipment, but it's been matched to the ground so that we can put it into a map like this and show it relative to all the land features. And because it is older, we didn't have the fancy colors like we do in more recent years. But the concepts, data collection, are the same. Again, not much change in the lake levels. We see slight fluctuations year to year. Exhibit 1H, going even further back, 1978. So in this one, the only difference in how this was collected is it truly is a photograph that we then use our GIS technology to reference it to landmarks on the ground. So distinct road intersections, landmarks, buttes, hills, lakes, and we can take that photo and match it for the mapping purposes. But again, still a photo taken from a plane. In this one, we can see water levels are down quite a bit, but we can still see the general outline of that water body in both of the areas. The final two are topographic maps, and I wanted to include these because these are most often collected out in the field using on-the-ground information, whereas the other ones were taken from planes. This is taken by staff, usually with the USGS, the federal government, going out and marking these land features. And so we can still see, even back in 2017, the water body has remained consistent in its size and placement. And all these lines that you see, if you're not familiar with the topographic map, are contour lines, and they're just points all connected along the same level of elevation. And so it really gives you a sense of steepness, terrain, depressions, and was a really useful tool prior to the advent of computers. Finally, Exhibit 1J. This is a much older topographic map. Again, providing that history of use, of existence from 1970. And we can see not much has changed from any of the other views. The water bodies exist and are clearly demarked by the staff that were actually out on the ground mapping these features. That is the end of the maps that we put together for this. Are there any questions?
Okay, and what are the connecting... Oh, sorry. I'll get my microphone on, like I told everyone else to do. What are the roads that are nearby? If you could read those into the record on this.
Yes. So to the north of the petition area and the north of Lost Lake and Kettle Cattail Lake, we have 116th Street running mostly east-west. We also have 435th Avenue and or 6th Avenue, sorry, and 437th Avenue. To the south, we have 119th Street, again, running east-west.
Okay. And this is to the west of Sisseton, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Almost due west if you head straight out of Sisseton.
It's east?
It's straight east of Fort Sisseton.
Very good. If you can hang on, hang on. I'll take that in a minute. We hear that it's straight east of Fort Sisseton, or west of Fort Sisseton. Do you have a larger map, Samantha?
I can pull up the Google map of it, yes. So Fort Sisseton and Sisseton, the city of Sisseton, are two different things. Right. So Sisseton... Here's the area, and then You can see here, Lost Lake. Here's that road that bumps to the north over the lake. And Fort Sisseton is a Game and Fish Parks and Rec area, state park. That would be the other direction.
Okay.
In my understanding.
Could you zoom in on that just a little bit here? So, and hold it there so the commission can see where it's at. Very good. Thank you. And if you could just hang on for questions. I'm going to look at the commission, see if they have any questions for Samantha right now. I'll take questions afterwards as well, but if you have any questions for right now. Mr. Lockwood.
Just a quick question. Is this land that the Game Fish and Parks is paying taxes on? The GPAs, the Lost Lake GPA and the Cattail GPA?
I can't answer authoritatively on that. I don't want to make an assumption, so I would pass that question off to somebody else, maybe Director Kirschman.
We'll take that question for Mr. Kirschman here in a minute. Anything further? Seeing, hearing none. Thank you, Ms. Nichols.
Thank you.
So then we'll have Mr. Kirschman come up. And you already know there's one question that you're going to get.
You can
sit wherever you'd like.
Comfortable, Tommy.
By your microphone.
No.
And I'm going to swear you in at this time. Do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give in this hearing will be true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
Yes, I do.
Record shall reflect witness is sworn. State your name for the record.
Sure.
And introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Tom Kirschman. I serve as the Wildlife Division Director for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks.
And you already know the first question out of the gate.
Yes, ma'am. So the question was, again, the GPA there, the Lost Lake GPA, do we pay property taxes on that? And the answer is yes. All game production areas across the state of South Dakota, including this one, we would pay property taxes to the respective county.
Do you pay property tax then on the other one? And what's the name of the other GPA that's connected to this? Is there one on the south side?
Yes. So when you think of the big GPA, Cattail, with inclusive in the water and the water bodies there, yes, we would pay property taxes on those as well.
Okay. Correct. And that's called the Cattail Kettle GPA?
Mm.
Okay. Are you familiar with the property?
Personally, no. No. I have never been on the Lost Lake GPA.
Okay. Do you have information regarding public use of that water currently?
So I do have some information that I was going to share with the commission in respect to some of the types of data that we do collect or that have collected in the past and some of those things. So if this would be the appropriate time, I would certainly be welcome to talk about that.
Is the appropriate time, if you would.
Okay.
Thank you.
So if I may also, I'm going to maybe step back just a few steps also in respect to Cattail Kettle and its designation of a Section 8 lake, if I may, so as a better understanding for the commissioners as well again. So when we go back to 2017, when there was legislative action taken on non-meandered waters in the state of South Dakota, there were certain number of bodies of water that were designated. They are non-meandered waters, but they are designated as open to public use. And the list of them are found in State Statute 41-23-8. And there's a list of lakes and then in the respective counties that they exist in. And so I apologize for the lingo, but oftentimes these lakes are referred to Section 8 lakes, hence by the statute. And in that statute, there is the Cattail Kettle Lake located in Marshall County is designated as one of those Section 8 lakes. And that is part of the body of water that is being referenced and in discussion today. So I just wanted to bring that up again from a historical perspective. What's also important as related to the use and maybe some of that information, statute 41-23-7 provided criteria as to how those lakes were determined to fall with under that Section 8 status. And there were two things that were listed in that statute, one being that those bodies of waters were open, obvious, and continuous recreation use by the public for a significant period of time was considered. And number two, the expenditure of public funds for the construction of one or more boat ramps. So those were some criteria the legislature put in place to establish these Section 8 lakes. And again, Cattail Kettle being one of them. I just wanted to bring that forward because that kind of leads into just a couple of the points that I wanted to share with the commission in respect to this body of water. So when you think of that statute, in 1996, a boat ramp was built by our department on these two Cattail Kettle connection of lakes. It's oftentimes referred to as the Fort Sisseton ramp because it's right on the highway just across from Fort Sisseton State Park that was just referenced. So yes, we did actually construct a boat ramp on this lake complex in 1996. So that's been in place for quite some time. When we look at other data and information that has been gathered throughout time, one piece of information that I will share that's available out there, in fact, it's on our website and is updated at the moment that we do it, is fish stocking efforts. And so this particular body of water, Kettle Marsh, our stocking report, we started stocking in that particular body of water going back to 1996 through 2025. Our latest stocking was in 2025. And the primary species of fish that has been stocked throughout those years has been walleye, primarily from the standpoint of a walleye fisheries. But that information is actually out on our website, and all individuals, interested parties, are always able to go look at that. But so that is one piece of information that we do collect and gather and put out there for the public to be aware of, is fish stocking information. Back in 1998 through 2005, we also did conduct some creel surveys, i.e. with our fishery staff, where they would visit with anglers that come off the lakes and ask some, you know, simple questions of how many fish did you catch, what type of fish, what are the size of fish. They gather information like that. So we have not done creel surveys recently, but again, back from 1998 to 2005, we had done creel surveys on those bodies of waters. Primarily, in some years, we would do primarily in the months of May, June, July, and August, those summer times, and then we would also do creel surveys during December, January, February, March, during ice fishing opportunities as well. And again, we have some of that information that shows number of interviews, angler hours, and angler days. So we have information to understand the activity out there on the body of water and the use by some anglers. Again, it gives a snapshot in time. We have not done that recently, but we did back in that time frame. We've also collected some data at the boat ramp in terms of activity of, you know, when and how many people are using the boat ramp with a traffic counter, similar to that you would all recognize as you're driving out on a highway with the, I'll say the rope, it's not a rope, but obviously the it goes across that counts vehicles. We have gathered information on that boat ramp as well over time. Between 2016 and 17, we did collect data on the boat ramp use. And then just yesterday, I learned of some more information where we have collected similar type of data from 2021 through the beginning of 2025. So we had another additional 4 or 5 years there where we collected some additional information on activity happening at the boat ramp itself to get an idea of people and use on that particular boat ramp, thus that fishing activity on the bodies of water themselves. Looking at the statute, and so those things I think complement what Ms. Nichols just shared in terms of the maps over time of what that water has done, how it has maybe or may not changed over time. I think that gives a little more historical background there as well. There is data that is available from the Department of Ag and Natural Resources in their water section that takes lake elevation data once a year, a couple times a year as well. And there is data that goes back to 1995 as well in terms of the lake elevation. So there's public information available out there in respect to that as well. And so those are a couple of pieces that I thought would be appropriate to share with the commission in respect to some data that we do collect or we have collected at times that does show or indicate probably some level of activity in that particular area. That's probably more related to the water itself and fishing activity, not necessarily the exact hunting activity, but I think it's just useful information to know and understand that's available out there.
Since you have it in front of you, one of the criteria stated in law that the commission is going to have to look at is the quantity of the water. And I think that goes to the depth. If you could share with me the water quantity.
Yeah, so from a water quantity perspective and water quality is also mentioned there, we as an agency, we don't necessarily collect the quality data information. Again, that's probably more something that DANR or DNR would collect for various reasons. So I do not have information on water quality. Again, the maps probably give a great indication of water quantity and how fluctuations may occur from environmental responses, rain, snow, periods of wetter versus periods of drier. And then the other piece of information that I think that would be pertinent or relative to the quantity of water would probably be some of that lake elevation data that's available.
Could you give that information to us?
Yeah, I do have copies that I could hand out to the commissioners so that you would have that as you have your deliberations and you can just see that information in front of you. So
that would be helpful.
I do have a packet of that information that I can share with the commissioners.
That would be helpful.
Yes.
And if you could, yeah.
I can grab that right now for you. And
thank you.
So, Ms. Williams, from that package that's being passed out right now, the data that it would include shows a copy of, like, that stocking report that I mentioned, the Creel survey, and then it does have the 2016-17 data from the boat ramp itself. I was not able to get printed off in time for the additional years. That's something I can certainly get after the fact. And then it should have the one page of the lake elevation information that came from Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources.
Okay, very good.
The front page, the stocking information, is certainly something that we hear a lot of questions from the public about, of where do you do your stocking efforts, what years have you done them, what kind of fish do you stock, and so again, we make that readily available. It's on our website for the public to see.
Okay, and I got the boat ramp and the Creel survey and the stocking report. Do you have the elevation reports?
It should be, I think it's your very last page of that. After, is that in there?
Maybe I'm just missing it.
You have extra copies of that. Do the rest of you have that in there?
Yeah, we need the elevation.
Well, I don't know why that did not get in there. Oops. I can give you my copy, and you can certainly pass it around to... No, it's not in there. My apologies. We can either try to get copies, or I can certainly give you mine, and you can pass along so the commissioners can see it.
That would be great.
Sure.
Thank you. And I'm just going to read some of it into the record, because I'm asking for it here, obviously. So... the data starts in 1995, October of 95, and the lake elevation is 1792.4. and it basically stays in that 1790 to 1794 range until 2016 in September, where it drops to 1788. But it's between 1788 and 1795 in 1996. Okay. I'll share that with the commission. And I noticed on the maps, that there basically has always been water in the area that we're talking about, with the exception of like back in 1976, which was a famous drought year in South Dakota in 77. Are there any other, am I reading that wrong, or do those maps show continuous water usage at that point in time?
Ms. Williamson, I'm certainly not the expert on the water levels at the local level. Certainly we do know in the Northeast water levels have gone up substantially over the past 25 years, at approximate time frame. Again, why we put those maps together is to show that you can see for quite some time that water level has been higher. Shortly before, as you're alluding to, that water level was lower. In between those years, sure, there is some level of fluctuations, as you can see from lake elevations to even how the maps, you know, demonstrate that just from the visuals from the air. But those water levels have been, I would say, fairly consistent. But again, at the local level, local folks could probably give a better description of what happens over that time, other than the fact that we certainly know that there is a higher level of water on the landscape up there now compared to what it was historically.
Okay, very good. Commissioners, do you have any further questions for Mr. Kirschman?
I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mrs. Williamson. Director Kirschman, when I look at the map, and I'll just, I don't know what you would call it, but it's kind of the little finger between Kettle Lake and the Lost Lake GPA. Is there a way for users of either body of water to get to either side going through, staying in the water, or do they have to take their boat out? I'm talking about accessibility. Can they go from both using that finger?
So, Ms. Risler, I think what I'll do is I'm going to ask one of our local staff. In fact, I have two of our conservation officers listening in this morning as well, and I think one of them could probably more appropriately answer that question, if that is okay, Ms. Williams, and ask one of them to help answer and address that question. I don't believe they can get through there, but I would ask one of them to further answer that question, if I may.
Thank you, Director.
And I'll get them on here after you're done.
Okay.
So, are there any further questions for Director? Go ahead, Ms. Bartling.
Thank you, Commissioner Bartling. Director Kirschman, for just visual, can you tell me where the boat ramp is located on Kettle Lake? And is there more than one, or is it just the one boat ramp?
We have just one boat ramp on the Cattail Kettle Lake complex. And the actual boat ramp itself would actually be farther down on the southwest side of the lake. I'm just trying to think of the best map that can help articulate where that's at. If I may, Ms. Williams, I might pass this map along. This is another one that I just had available. But on the way far west side, to the left-hand side of this map, you'll see a pin with an A, and that's where the public boat ramp is at. On Kettle Lake here, goes through, connected to Cattail, and then up here is where we're talking. And you'll see that diagram again, or the rectangle of the property that the petitioner had submitted, so that would be the context for you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It's right off of the highway over by Fort Sisseton itself.
Show the petitioners that first, please, and then pass it around to the commission. And we'll just take a minute to see that map.
Commissioner Bartling, does that make sense where that is at?
It's a long ways.
Yes, Director. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yep. Ms. Williamson, I can leave that with you as well and the commissioners, or we could try to run and have some copies made if you believe it's necessary, but at minimum, I could certainly leave that with you.
Thank you. I'll put that in the record. Are there any further questions for Director Kirschman? Seeing or hearing no further questions for the director, you have someone on standby, you said. And who is that?
There are two, Ms. Williamson, there are two conservation officers on standby. One is Officer Tim McCurdy, based out of Aberdeen. He is our district conservation officer supervisor. And we also have local wildlife conservation officer Jack Baumert, who is the conservation officer out of Marshall County. And so I would say for your question that was asked about the connectivity of those lakes and the ability to pass through with a watercraft, I think Officer Baumert could easily handle that question and answer any or provide you the information for you.
Thank you. Excellent. Can we get him on the line then?
Should be on.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. And
so,
hang on. Are you an officer, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Officer Baumert. Very good. I'm going to swear you in real quick. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give in this hearing will be true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
I do.
Record shall reflect the witness is sworn. State your name for the record.
I'm Wildlife Conservation Officer Jack Baumert.
Thank you, Officer Baumert, for appearing today and answering a few questions. Did you hear the question that Chairman Ristler had regarding moving from Lost Lake to Kettle Lake or Cattail Lake?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you answer that?
There is a constructed road that goes through the channel outside of the GPA, or it would be impassable between Lost Lake and Cattail.
So there's a road, you said?
Yes, ma'am. It's more of a trail. It looks like it was built up in order to pass over that channel.
Okay, and most of the time, if If a fisherman or a member of your staff needs to get a boat to Lost Lake, to the game production area in Lost Lake, how do they do that?
In order to get to the Lost Lake GPA, they would have to get through the channel from the south. Usually they would need a lighter boat, such as a kayak or a canoe. And then they would be able to float up that channel into the very corner, the southwest corner of Lost Lake GPA.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Chairman Ressler?
That does. Thank you, Officer Baumert.
And while we have Officer Baumert on the line, are there any questions from the Commission regarding local usage of this property? We can always call him back. Thank you, Officer Baumert.
One more question.
Oh, one more question. Hang on.
One more question, Officer. Commissioner Locken here. Just to get the lay of the land, all of this water that leaves this system drains through Hickman Dam, would that be a correct statement? Lost him.
I cannot say exactly where it goes. I believe it drains down through water systems into Opus Lake and south from there. I do not believe it is connected to Hickman, but I cannot say that 100% certainty either.
Thank you.
Anything further from the Commission? Okay. Thank you, Officer Baumert. At this point, then, I believe we're going to hear from the petitioners. They've been sitting here waiting patiently. They have made petition to close their land to public access, and I'd like to hear from them. So would Chris like to start first, or Arla? I'll have Chris start first. I'm going to swear you in at this time. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give in this hearing is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
I do.
Record shall reflect. Witnesses sworn. State your name for the record.
Chris Schuster.
And the property that you are, that you own, what is the address of that? Do you have the address or the description of it?
The description. I don't have it memorized. I believe it's the southeast quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 6, Township 125 North of Range 55 West of the 5th PM in Marshall County.
Okay, very good. And are you looking to have two quarters? You own two quarters there?
Yep.
And your mom owns the other quarter?
Yes.
And so there were three quarters total that we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. And they're all in Section 6 of Eden Township?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Are you a farmer up there?
Yes, I am.
And you farm these lands nearby?
Yes.
Tell me about your farming practice up there, or your financial interest in this area.
On that land, I have crops. I have beans and corn this year. Part of it is CRP. That's hay for my cattle. And part of it is a roadway for me to get to my other land.
Okay, where's the roadway at?
It goes right down the center of that 80, basically. Not down the center, about the east one quarter, there's a row of trees. If you look on map 1B, there's a row of trees that you can see going north and south, the road is right next to those trees.
I'm going to let you talk about why you want to close your property to the public.
The main reason is to stop the illegal activity that keeps happening up there. We have a repeat trespasser hunter by the name of Mark Ermer, who for the last several years has been trespassing on my property, and we've turned him in. We've given the Game and Fish pictures, videos, and they do nothing because he works for the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. He's got an illegal tree stand up there right now. I have pictures and video on my phone as proof. And we called the game warden from Marshall County about a month and a half ago, and he came and looked at it and said, yep, that's 100% illegal. So he took it down, and he called the guy and said, your stand is not legal. I removed it. You can come and get it from me. And one or two days later, that game warden said he got a call from someone out of the Aberdeen office that ordered him to put the stand back and to call the guy and tell him that he did nothing wrong and apologize to him. That's why I want it closed. This guy keeps trespassing on my property. The state is helping him get away with it, and there's nothing else I can do. I fear for my safety. If I drive by that tree stand and he gets mad at me, what am I going to do? He's got a bow and arrow. He's got hunting knives. He might have a rifle. He's trespassed on my property. He brought his kid up there and trespassed on our property. He's teaching his kid that this is fine, and the state does nothing. We have turned him in multiple times. It should be in a record somewhere that he's been turned in multiple times. And his bosses get him off and order the game warden to put the stand back when it's 100% illegal. I have proof on my phone. The safety issue of him driving up there and parking his boat in all these dead trees, what if that dead tree falls on that boat, kills him or his kid? Or wreck something. I'm responsible. They're my trees. They're on my land. He should not be up there. I don't want anybody up there. Nobody should be pulling their boat into all of those dead trees and walking on my land. It's crazy. There is no legal way for him to get to that stand, and we've caught him multiple times, and he just keeps doing it. Maybe stopping him out in the water will, I don't know, but that's the next legal step. I'm running out of options.
So he has a tree in a or tree stand and a live tree, not a dead one in the water?
Yes, it's on the Lost Lake GPA. So he's crossing my land to get to that tree stand that he put up illegally.
It's in the Lost Lake GPA. Is he crossing that lake with a flat bottom boat or something?
No, with a boat that he launches from the state park over by Fort Siston. He drives it right up and pulls it up on my land and walks across my land to get to his tree stand.
Okay. That's a lot to take in right now and address, so we're going to go step by step on this. What side of your property is this tree stand at?
The north side.
North side.
North side of mine, the south side of the Lost Lake GPA.
And so you've requested to have the two quarters closed. Does he, But he utilizes the north quarter of your two quarters, correct?
Yes.
And he utilizes your mom's quarter?
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
We've caught him both ways, going across mine, or he'll go across hers, walk up the hill, and then across the grade that we have. And that's where his son was fishing when I went by, was standing on that grade of ours.
Not in a boat?
No, not in a boat. Standing on the grade fishing.
Okay.
I fear for the safety of my nieces and nephews. They go up there. They're small children. We're talking 6, 10, 12, I think 14 years old. If they drive a four-wheeler by him and scare a deer and that irritates him, what are these little kids going to do when he's up there? He's obviously not afraid to break the law. I mean, they're defenseless little kids.
And his tree stand is on your land and not in the...
No, it's on the Lost Lake GPA. It's about 20 feet from the property line.
Okay, so it's in the Lost Lake GPA.
Yes.
Okay.
But he cannot get there without crossing either mine or her land.
Okay. We can't... The commission can't control everything about that today, but we can talk about one or two things. How far away is your home?
Where I live?
Yes.
30 miles south, Webster.
Okay. But you have nieces and nephews that are up there.
Yeah, they live a mile away from there.
Okay.
They're up there. Four-wheeling, hiking, you know, stuff all the time. And I can't be there all the time.
And that's the same with your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Her property's the same way?
They live...
2 miles across the
lake. Well, across the lake it would be 2 miles, but by road it would be 4 miles to get up there for them. Five,
up,
technically.
Up in that area, you have to drive around the lakes. It
yes.
takes a little bit longer.
Yes.
I understand that. But as the crow flies a couple miles.
Yep.
Okay. In regards to other hunters and fishers besides this one person, have there been any issues?
Lots of them. If you come up there during deer season, there's a group of people who launch a boat from the state boat landing, and they drive around and drop hunters off in different locations around the lake, and then they leave with the boat until they either get a phone call or it gets dark out, which is 100% illegal in South Dakota. You cannot do that. That's guiding. And it happens every weekend. I sit in my tree stand, and I can hear them every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's illegal activity going on up there all the time, and that's why we're here, is to hopefully try and stop some of it. My brother has actually two docks on my property there that he fishes off of, that people will just tie their boats up to and fish off the docks. That's trespassing. That's a private dock, and they don't care.
And you say you've called in on these other hunters a number of times?
Yes. We have to kick trespassers off our property every year, repeatedly.
At any point in time, have you talked to the state's attorney about this?
I have not, no.
Okay.
That's probably going to be the next step.